Well, we're going to continue on with the subject of sanctification this morning. So you can call this part two if you want to. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Father, Jesus. Do we commit again your word to our hearts and minds. Lord, we're not looking for opinions or ideas or thoughts, but that which proceeds from you, your truth, that'll help us in our walk to please you in all things, Lord, because that is our desire. Want to walk uprightly. Please you, Lord. Do those things that you want. To love the right and to hate the evil. That character of Christ revealed within us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have just talked about sanctification, and I mentioned in my last message how it's easy to profess holiness when we can control the environment that we are in. As long as everything is going my way, it's easy to keep the victory.
Yes.
But if we're faithful to God, then we're going to be sure that the Lord is going to lead us into some difficult situations. And he's going to lead us into the fire. Amen. Bound. Yes. And those situations we have always got to recognize are for our good.
Yes.
To those that love the Lord. The goodness of God is not defined by our selfish mentality, though, but must be defined by an all-wise, all-knowing Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, most people could probably quote this scripture, but the Bible says there, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." Don't think of God as some hard taskmaster who is looking to set traps in your way to make you stumble and fall. His thoughts toward his children are peace,
yes,
and they are not evil. He wants the best for your life. You've got to believe that.
Yes.
Because what we think is the best for our life and what God thinks is the best for our lives are sometimes two completely different things.
Yes,
his best is always represented by his Son. And to the image of Christ, God is bent with all of his desire to see that you're conformed,
yes,
to the image of Jesus, and his life be replicated in you. We know that the children of Israel were God's own people, but he could never allow them to stay where they were in Egypt. They came out of Egypt. They're on the banks of the Sea of Egypt. And Miriam, after the great deliverance, was shouting and praising the Lord, ringing a tambourine, having a great Pentecostal showdown. But, you know, it isn't long before they're led into the heat of the desert. She'd gathered the local churches together, was thanking God for the great deliverance that had occurred. No more problems. All is well. No more Pharaoh, no Egypt, no more slavery. We are free, praise God.
Yeah.
Moses is the hero and the man of God, and everything is going to be A-okay. But there's a slight problem, and that is the leadership of the Holy Ghost within their lives. God's Spirit is about to take them straight into the wilderness, and not everything is going to go the way they think it should go. No Cadillacs in that place, no BMWs, nice buildings, nice houses, only the bitter waters of Marah. And God was not going to allow them in that wilderness bearing around the mentality of Egypt. That is why God put them through that place of testing. They had fled Egypt, but Egypt, unfortunately, had not fled them. They were saved. But the system that they had been under was still affecting the way that they were thinking. We also are saved out of the world, but so much of the world still influences the way we do things. This is the process of sanctification. God pulls on the weakest area of your life, not for your destruction, but that Christ may be made more real within your heart and life. That is why I said his best for us may not be what we think is the best for us. So we're in a process of sanctification, and that can be simply defined as this. It is the spiritual new man in Christ asserting control over the soul and body of man and directing it to go God's way. Let me assert that again. Sanctification can be simply defined as the spiritual new man in Christ asserting control over the soul and body of man, directing it to go in God's way. I like the allegory of a dog and a leash. You know, who leads who? Like Shiloh. Is it Shiloh leading you or you leading Shiloh?
Yeah.
The only thing that determines that is who's pulling on the end of the leash. Well, who directs this body? Is it you or is it God? Sanctification in our lives is the replacing of our life with his life, the life of Christ. What I want, what I want to do, or is it what God wants, what he wants to be done? Thy will be done or my will be done. Amen. We have to understand when we say that we have to deal with the old man, what that old man is. We refer to the old man, or we refer to self, or we refer to the flesh. And it is important that we define terms here. People say we've got to kill the flesh. Well, what are we on about? The human body is not your enemy. You kill the flesh and you think it's that human body, then you might as well just commit suicide. If that is the case, you better take your own life if you've got to kill that flesh. When God refers to something in the scriptures, careful that we must define these terms. The flesh, the self, the old man. What is that? It's not the physical body that we're talking about. You cannot pummel the physical body into subjection by wearing Roman Catholic hair shirts or inflicting self-injuring tortures upon yourself. That is some medieval hooey-balooey. It does not work. I remember when we was in India and I stood upon the balcony of a rented house that we was using. As I was looking down into the street, there were these people and they were dressed with loincloths on, the men were, and the women were following behind the wagon train. And on the wagon train was this big idol. The problem was the men had hooks in their backs, attached with ropes, pulling the wagon down the street. And the women were rolling in the dirt behind the wagon. Now, that is not how you deny yourself. That is not going to work. That is not going to sanctify you. It's not going to make you any more holy than what you are. It's just going to leave you in a mess. You'll have self-injured marks on your body. The term self, flesh, is simply defined as this. It is the independent I that would choose my own way. The body is the servant, either of God or of myself, or in a stronger sense, the servant of the devil. That is why I said an unsaved person being religious is in a complete deception. To fast, to pray, to do religious activities without knowing Christ profits no man. There are many sincere and devout practitioners of religion that are far more exceedingly zealous than you and I will ever be. The Bible says that there are some even that compass land and sea just to make one proselyte. I talked about in the previous message how my wife met that Hindu woman on the train. She fasted for 30 days, not just once, on different occasions, without any food whatsoever except water. Undoubtedly, that woman was strongly religious. You cannot educate a man out of his evil. He must be born again. Yeah. A life-changing experience where a man meets with the Lord Jesus Christ. If all the church can do is offer moral counsel and an education, then we've got big problems. Yeah. The church is the custodian of life, and people coming into the church must feel Holy Spirit conviction to be like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 tells us, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield not your members is a command of God, and it is the process of sanctification. If you don't allow the spiritual man to be in charge of your life, then the only alternative is to walk after the flesh. When we talk about being spiritual, we're talking about that new man in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24 tells us to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yeah. If you put on a new coat, it demands that you take off the old one. You have to make a choice to put on that new one. If we're to walk in newness of life, then we also have to make a choice. Put on the new man. Don't allow that old selfish nature to dominate your life. You see, the righteousness of Christ is not just something that is added to our account. It is imparted into our lives. We don't merely add Jesus objectively to what we are. Jesus comes to live inside of us. I heard a dear preacher say one day, in fact it's my pastor, he said, we are partners with God to keep the old man dead. We have a choice in this matter. When Jesus told us to deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow him, this is part of what we are saying. To deny self is to deny the expression of that self within your life. When anger springs up, then the opposite choice of that is also present. Instead of anger, replace it with kindness. Instead of pride, humility. Instead of lust, with love. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's purpose for you and I as Christians is to conform us to the image of Christ. This is an advancement of light and power. Yes. He who has all power is growing in me and possessing me from the inside out. As a Christian, there is within me the power of a new life. And now I must learn to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. In this process of salvation and sanctification, we see that our position in Christ when we're born again is so vitally important in our fight against the devil. Firstly, we are set free from the penalty of sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18 says, therefore, by as the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even by the righteousness of one. Yes. The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The wrath and judgment of God that was our due. But because of Christ, we're no longer under the judgment of God to condemnation. He has delivered us from the penalty of sin. This is a wonderful promise to those who belong in Christ Jesus, who've yielded up the ownership of their lives to another. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. Secondly, not only have we been delivered from the penalty of sin, but we've been now made free from the bondage of sin. The scripture says that we have been made free from sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. But now being made free from sin. You know, when you're free from something, it no longer has a hold upon your life. We've become servants to God. You have your fruit now unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Jesus said, he that is a sin, who commits sin is a servant of sin. Thank God in Christ Jesus, there is freedom from that old self-serving life. Who wants to live in such an awful selfish existence? That place where the worm of self is never satisfied. Always wanting something. You never get a good enough cell phone. Or a nice enough computer. Always wanting something else. You can't feed it enough. It never stops complaining, demanding, and sucking up life. It is a parasite that only Christ can bruise its head. When Adam in the Garden of Eden made the choice and disobeyed the divine commandments of God, he did not realize the fatal consequences of his transgression. Little did he know that he would doom the entire human race to slavery and imprisonment. Slavery that is not in servitude to another man, but slavery to the desires, deception of man's arch enemy, the devil. All of man's problems that he faces today, all of the wars, the struggles and the fightings are the result of one thing, and that is disobedience. Yes. Man unconsciously acts like the devil because that is what his character is like. The character of Satan is the character of a goat. It is loud and it is proud. Completely self-sufficient. It needs no help from God because it can do it by itself. The sheep, on the other hand, are needy. They rely upon the shepherd to lead them to new pastures. Sheep naturally don't like strangers, but they know their master. Thank God he can deliver us from the bondage of sin. We don't have to be that old goat with that proud, selfish nature. We can be clothed in humility. And in this final step of salvation and sanctification process, there is something that is described as the redemption of the body. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Listen to another scripture in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Talking about Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And again, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, "Not only they, but ourselves also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." I'm so glad God is not going to leave us with our natural bodies. As we walk with Christ, we're being changed in our moral character and life. But there is a change coming that will only occur when we're either raptured with the church or go by way of the grave. It is amazing how much pain and trouble we take to dress this flesh up and preserve it. One thing we can be sure of, it is destined for the grave. I don't know if it's something about turning over the age of 40, but you start looking at older people in a different light and you realize that's my destination. I'm coming there one day. I'm going to be an old man one day. Paul used the phrase within the book of Philippians. He said he called it a vile body. It has been defiled by sin. It is frail and it is mortal. It says the glory of young men is their strength. For a short period of time, you've been young, you've experienced strength. But in the process of death, one day will be laid in the grave, in corruption, weakness, and the body dishonored. Sin has subjected the body of man to weakness, mortality, and death. It tells us in the book Ecclesiastes, it is better for us to go to the house of mourning than it is to the house of feasting, because you'll lay it to your heart that that is the destiny of all men. People may say that the word vile is a too strong a word, but remember how the word of God also defines another part of the body. I must take my hands out of my pocket. James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, boast of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." So we see we have a vile body, a tongue, which is a world of iniquity, and it defiles the whole body. A vile body with a vile tongue Thank God it's going to be resurrected one day. This vile body in the resurrection shall be stripped of all its vileness, baseness, meanness, and it will be changed. I believe we shall maintain the same personage. I shall be able to recognize this is Brother Robin, or this is Brother Keith. Just like we was able to recognize Christ after his resurrection. He did not come become a different person. The disciples were still able to recognize him. But it does mean this mortality shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall be clothed with uncorruption. Sanctification is the Spirit asserting the ascendancy over the body and beginning to compel our lives to live and to walk after God Almighty. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. That law of the Spirit of life of Christ is now in me. It made me free from the law of sin and death that dwelt in the old man. That old man, the self, flesh, whatever you want to term it, the lower nature, wants to pull me downward. However, with Christ dwelling within my heart, God has given me the power to overcome and become the sons of God. This is a new life. Now I can tell the body where to go and what to do. There's an old song, or perhaps not an old song. It says, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Sometimes that old body, that old man, don't want to see Jesus first thing in the morning. But that's when the Spirit within me says, you're going to get down, you're going to get up, and you're going to pray and seek God's face. That is practical obedience. As you practice obedience, as that spiritual man asserts the ascendancy over your body, then it is established within our life principles, labors of habit. The spiritual man becomes stronger, and we're now in the dimension of being led by the Spirit. Amen. This is not some mystical something where I'm caught up into the fourth dimension and I consult with principalities and powers. No! The leadership of the Spirit of God is obedience to the Word of God. As you are led by the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, you have the faith of God, and God orders the steps of a good man. That good man is not you and I, it's Christ living in and through you. It's no longer you, but Jesus living through that life. The temptation for us to disobey comes at different points within a believer's life. In the Garden of Eden, the devil's temptation came through the lust of the eyes, through the craving for something that was forbidden. In the wilderness temptation of Jesus, the devil makes his attempt on the body of Christ, the appeal to the desires of the body. He said, make these rocks bread to eat. Jesus' reply was that man does not live by bread alone. Next, the devil appealed to the soul. Have a look out there and see the whole thing. I'll give you everything out there in the world. Jesus replied, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This is the leadership of the Holy Ghost, to give strength to obey the written word of God. If the devil can't get you to backslide, he'll push you upward so that you think you're doing something spiritual. You'll start hearing voices, seeing visions and dreams, and you'll no longer be led by the word of God. You'll be led by some devil or angel coming as an angel of light. Some fancy that you've imagined in the night instead of being grounded, centered in the word of God and truth. This is the working out of sanctification as we make the choice for God. He strengthens our decisions, and the Spirit grows more and more into the image of God, and less of this world has a place and a hold within your heart and life. As you walk with God, then the things of this world find less and less pleasure and meaning to us. We come to grasp the meaning of in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Yeah. The world looks at us, thinks we're crazy. Why meet here at 6:30 in the morning after Saturday night to pray and see God's face? Yeah. You're crazy. You're a peculiar people. Yeah. Well, that's what we are. We're in fact in our right minds. We're not crazy. Yeah. We're born again. Don't live by Irish culture.
Yeah.
We're here as spiritual beings in Christ Jesus. Why go to Africa? Why spend your life in Germany, Sharon? Why use up all your money over there serving somebody you cannot see with your own physical eyes? You're crazy.
Yeah.
Why spend all that time praying and reading your Bible? Why give your money to the church? I asked the same question back in my mind. Why do you sit there and watch that stupid football game?
Yeah.
Why do you sit there? Why do you want to go here or there? Why is all of that so rich to you?
Yeah.
Watching football is not the unpardonable sin. But I'm telling you, the closer we get to God, the less you need of all of that.
Yes.
That won't have any relevance in your life when you get to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not against that. I'm not preaching against watching television or anything like that. I'm just saying those things will have less of a pull upon our lives the more we become enveloped in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
There is a place where you realize that the world becomes a total and is a total enemy of God, and that Christ is all in all. As Christ becomes the center of your life, the desire to sin melts. As we obey the word of God, we experience spiritual growth. As that spiritual man grows, then the desire of the spiritual man is exactly the opposite of the desire of the flesh. This is where we come to the heart of the issue and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. God has a lot to show us through the world that he has created. I said in my last message prior to this one, we use an illustration of the newborn baby desiring the sincere milk of the word. When that baby takes in nutrients that are necessary for its life, is that newborn baby aware of the process of growth? Does it understand the food that it eats is going to grow into a person that is mature? All they have to do is eat to assimilate and utilize to grow a person. All we have to do as Christians is to eat, feast on the things of the Lord, and there will be spiritual growth. I'm not talking about physical food here. In the natural, as that baby eats, the body takes care of the growth. We may understand intellectually the process, but it's hard though to feel that process going on within our lives. Christianity is the same way. It is hard to see the process and growth of sanctification within an individual's life. Sometimes we get a little frustrated with the slow and the painful process. Particularly as pastors, you think, what's going on? Why are we not where we should be? Why, it is a slow growth. I look at my children. I look at the way they've surrendered their hearts to Christ. I look at the way they're devoted, they're reading the Bible, but things slip up during the day and I'm saying, Lord, what's going on here? But something's happening. Something's maturing. And if I look back over the last year, I see this growth occurred. You know, it wasn't but 2 years ago Nathaniel was this height. He's now this high. Growth has occurred within his physical body. All that food my wife's been cooking and he's been eating. And he's growing 6 foot tall. So how does that work out? I don't know. But God does it. God has designed life that way, in the same way spiritual. It's hard to see this process of sanctification within our lives. And sometimes we're not as aware when we're with people all the time of that growth process. But as I come back, year after year, or Robin comes back, you see the growth in people's lives, the maturity, the understanding of the things of God. I certainly hope there's a change in me. Things change in our lives. We become more mature as we seek the will of God. Come back in a few weeks, a few months, a few years. You should see growth. You should see a maturing. You should see a steadfastness. And most importantly, you should see a likeness of Jesus being revealed through our lives. Amen. Let us stand and pray and commit the day to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.